Cape Town, South Africa, and welcome to Inspiring South Africans, the show about formidable South Africans who are doing it with purpose and focused on the healing of the people and the planet. My love and shared passion for the performing arts genre inspired me to invite my guest onto the show, and so welcome Philip Boyd, the CEO of Dance for All in Cape Town, South Africa. Welcome, Philip.
Hello, everyone.
Okay. Philip, your mission in a nutshell for Dance for All is to provide children in historically disadvantaged communities with the opportunity for enjoyment, empowerment, and the promotion of self-esteem through the medium of dance, as well as training professional dancers and developing a unique indigenous and dance company. Absolutely wonderful. So here I'd like you, Philip, to give listeners some kind of background and speak for the heart. Go ahead, Philip.
Great. When I was a principal dancer with the ballet company, which was then Cape Air Ballet, which is now Cape Town City Ballet, I joined the company in 1979 and was with the company for 23 years. And it was about 15 years into my career, and in 1991, when I really felt it was so necessary for the ballet company to establish an outreach program. There were no outreach programs in dance companies in South Africa at that time, and I really felt it was so important that that was started. So I asked our then director, Veronica Paper, if I could start teaching black children in the community of Guguletu. And I'd had very little, you know, experience at all as a teacher. Of course, I was a dancer all my life. I had had some teaching experience when I was a student at UCT School of Dance from 1974 to 76. And went out to the areas of Manenberg where we had to teach as part of our teaching method. But I had very little experience, really. So it was really the love of and the passion that I have for children and really feeling that I wanted to impart my knowledge and giving the chance for children who came from these dire circumstances to have some kind of magic in their lives. And so that is really what motivated me. And the other fact was that I felt it was very necessary to change the demographics of the dancers that we were seeing in this country. Because when I was in the company, there were mostly white dancers, there were some colored dancers, and I think one black dancer. So it all starts with training, and one has to start training in the dance profession with children from the age of probably 6 or 7, and it's a 12-year training program. And I really built on the legacy of the KPAB director, David Poole, and who was a wonderful director and producer of the company. And he taught, in fact, some classes in Guguletu and younger in the mid-80s. But because of problems and what was happening with riots and things, that all came to a standstill. So I was able to go out twice a week on a Tuesday and a Thursday afternoon after my rehearsals. And it just sort of grew, and I recruited students. And it was really word of mouth. There was no advertising whatsoever. And I then used some senior students who became my voice. And I taught them to become teachers as well. And that was wonderful. And I named the program Ballet for All because I was a classical ballet dancer. And I felt it would be very important for kids to have a really good basic ballet training. And I then felt after about 5 years that I needed to change the name to Dance for All in 1995. And that was a great move in the right direction because we were then able to incorporate African dance, contemporary dance, a bit of Spanish dance, and obviously our numbers started growing. And then the program, I felt, needed to be expanded to other areas like Langa, Nyanga, Khayelitsha, which we did. And most of our teaching staff then were just volunteers. And you cannot run a program like this with volunteers. And it became harder, of course, because I was still a principal dancer with a ballet company at that stage. And so it wasn't that easy to go out, and I felt that more work needed to be done, you know, in the classroom. And I had to make a decision about continuing my career, on stage, or having this career in the classroom. And I felt it was very, very important to continue this work in the classroom to train students and children. And as I say, it takes 12 years to train students. So we have built up the organization for many, many years. And my late wife, Prima Ballerina Saluta Filispira, sadly passed away in 2008. But she was our assistant director. And we started a youth company, the Dance World Youth Company, because I also had a scholarship program that I created for students who went to Alexander Sinton High School. I used to fetch them at 6 o'clock in the morning and take them to school. And in fact, we had two generations of students that went to the school and got a very, very good education, and they got a bloody good dance training. So, yeah, that is really what we've done over all the years. And we started with 35 students. Today we have 1,500 students, which is really exciting. And we have a lot of male students. And the interesting thing, Heather, is that so many dance companies or those in South Africa want our male students. And in fact, it should be like a soccer team. They should be paying us for our students. You know, we do all the hard training in the ghettos, and everybody wants them at the end of their training. But nobody wants to go and do the hard work in the ghettos, and that's what we do. So that's basically really what has happened. And yeah, I suppose I was very lucky in having had a very good education myself, and I was trained by a wonderful teacher called Dorothy DeWitt in Johannesburg. And I then went to the National School of the Arts, where I got more training and had wonderful, wonderful teachers. And then Dulcie Howes, who was the founder director of the University of Cape Town School of Dance and also the Cape Town Ballet Company, saw me dancing when I was probably about 17 in Johannesburg, and she offered me a bursary to come down to Cape Town, and she said, you need a male teacher. And so we had a wonderful teacher in Cape Town called Dudley Tomlinson, who had a career with the Royal Ballet, and he was one of the best male teachers in this country. And so I came down to Cape Town in 1974 and did the three-year course until 76. And then, of course, all of us whiteys in South Africa had to go to do our national service. And so in 1977, I then went to Potchefstroom, 3-Sy Infantry Battalion, and I stayed there for my three-month training, and then I was transferred to Kimberley. And the wonderful thing is that David Poole, who is our director of the ballet company in the school in Cape Town, he wrote to the minister of...
And so I continued my army training, and in fact, we had to then do one more year. So we had 2 years of national service in South Africa, and I ended up being at the castle in Cape Town. And I learned quite a lot of my administrative skills, funnily enough, in the confidential registry where I worked. I then joined the ballet company in 1979, and I was really lucky to have been then sort of promoted to becoming a principal dancer the following year in 1980. And I danced with a beautiful dancer called Nicolette Loxton, and we became quite a well-known partnership in Cape Town. And the first production that we did together was the Ballet Giselle. I played Albrecht and Nicolette danced the role of Giselle. We had a long partnership, and I was very lucky because I danced with so many people in the company and so many wonderful ballerinas, and we had so many guest teachers and choreographers and producers, and it was a real golden era of dance in South Africa at that time. And so, yeah, I was very privileged, and I really wanted to share that with children. And so that is hence why I created Dance for All.
Right. Okay. Now, can you share here the objectives of Dance for All, Philip?
Yes, that's really to provide a structured extramural activity in the form of dance classes for children and youth in historically disadvantaged communities, and to provide support for these communities in which we operate by providing a safe, contained and positive environment for our children in our daily dance classes, and to reveal and nurture and create opportunities for the wealth of talent and ability that exists for so many underprivileged and undeveloped communities where we work today, and to train students who possess the motivation and requisite talent to become professional dancers, teachers of dance, and choreographers of the future.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. You know, on your site, I absolutely love your two quotes. And the one by Martha Graham is, "Dancing is just discovery, discovery, discovery." And the other one is by Agnes DeMille, and it is, "The truest expression of a people is in its dance and in its music." Oh, yes.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think everybody should dance. Everybody should learn to dance. If you can move, if you can walk, you should be able to dance.
Absolutely. I absolutely love dancing, as you know. Now we're going to go to your beautiful story with your late wife, Phyllis Spira, whom I loved, watched, and thoroughly enjoyed in the many shows she danced over the years. And so I want you to tell us about her special award and just share from your heart. Thank you.
Yes, well, Phyllis was the most incredible human being, apart from being a legend in her own lifetime. She just had this incredible generosity of spirit and this gift of sharing and imparting her wealth of knowledge to younger dancers. And I really valued that, and I learned such a lesson from that. And she was so grounded as a human being. You know, she always was the same today as she was tomorrow and the next day. And she always said, don't ever forget who you were yesterday and be the same person. You don't need to be anybody else. And, you know, she just had this incredible gift. And she loved children so much. And, yeah, how lucky we were to have had 34 incredible years together. And, you know, what an amazing partnership we had, and this love of children that we both had, and that we were able to share that and develop it and nurture it through the work of Dance for All. And, of course, she had this beady eye, was the most brilliant teacher and didn't miss a trick. And she had a very naughty sense of humor. And, you know, with those big eyes, that big mouth and that high forehead, sort of gammon face, she was an incredible actress. And, you know, she also told the most wonderful stories and wonderful jokes, and, you know, from her past career that she always shared with other dancers. And she always said to her students, I don't care how talented you are, but you've got to be a nice person. To be a nice person is the most important thing in life, and how true that is. And yes, how lucky we all were to have worked with her and to have had her in our midst as somebody we all revered tremendously. And what an incredible human being she was. And I've started a trust in her memory as well, called the Fitaspira Trust, that helps students to further their dance training once they're finished with us. And so we raise funds for that as well, and that keeps her name alive. And I've also got something called the Inspirations Youth Company, and those are talented students that we train, and they are able to do more performances and work with different choreographers, and that gives students more of an opportunity of performing. And that is also, you know, in memory of Phyllis.
Wonderful. What a beautiful story. Absolutely beautiful story. And that she chose, that Phyllis chose to stay in South Africa and not dance overseas and not pursue her career there, was truly honorable. You know, that doesn't happen often, because everybody's always saying, you know, you'll only make it overseas, and yet she chose to stay. I took a lot of strength of character to do that.
Absolutely. And she was so devoted to this country. I mean, she believed so much in this country and the future of this country and children. And I mean, what better investment to make is the children, which is our future.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to say this. You know, there have been so many shows that you've had, and I'd like you to just paint a picture for us of, and it doesn't matter if they're, you know, all the shows that you were involved in with these young children over the years. Just share with us.
Yes, we've had so many highlights, and it's difficult to point out or, you know, to mention one or two. I mean, one of the most exciting highlights, I think, was when four of our dancers were chosen to dance with the Busgate String Ensemble musicians from Soweto. They choreographed, our dancers choreographed 15 pieces to Rameau, which is a French composer, an 18th century French composer. And they danced in Paris, and they were then invited by Sir John Elliott Gardner, who I think is the patron of this Busgate String Ensemble from Soweto. And they were then invited to go to London and perform at the Royal Albert Hall in 2007. So Phyllis and I went, and we saw the performance. And I just remember obviously sitting there and Phyllis just bursting into tears, because these were kids that came out of shacks in Khayelitsha or Nyanga or Guguletu, wherever it was that we had trained right from the beginning. And there they were on an international stage holding their own. And that was just something really incredible. And of course gave a lot of exposure to the organization. We do quite a lot of performances. Obviously we do corporate performances to raise funds. We do a schools program with our bridging program students every year. And we do a short season at Artscape Theatre, which is one of the most beautiful theatres in South Africa. And we also do our end of year show normally at Springfield Convent in December, just before we break up in the middle of December. And then we have probably about 80 or 90 of our students. And today we in fact have 1,500 students, which is just incredible. And this is really giving children, you know, such a way of life and to have this discipline, which is a serious discipline of this training of dance. And of course, there's so much talent that is so exciting to work with. And we have so many young boys, and that's really very, very nice.
What I think is amazing is that you know, you are offering them obviously all this wonderful training, but you also feeding them and giving them a career that they can use here or wherever in the world. And it's basically making such a difference in so many people's lives around them. And you had a lovely story which you shared about your one student that came all the way from Paul every day.
That's right. Yes, he's a young bridging program student. He's actually 24, and these are students that have finished school. And I really admire this young man. He was a hip-hop dancer, and he really felt he needed some more training. And he comes every day on a train. He gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he comes to our studios. By 9:30, he's there, and he works all day. And I really admire that. There are many other students, of course, who we have wonderful stories as well. And it is great to see our students and former students who are now dancing all over the world. In fact, I saw yesterday that one of our students has just got his British passport. He's been in London for, I think, 10 or 15 years already. And he came out of Ashek and Kalicha, has been dancing with the Rambe Dance Company, is now freelancing. And then we have two dancers they're dancing with the Lion King in Germany. They've been there for 3 or 4 years, which is incredible to see that, you know, through the dance, that they have a future and have a life. And our work is a lifeline for our students, because there is so much talent. But without us providing and sponsoring and supporting the training, which is a first-class training of excellence, these students would never, ever be able to go forward or would know anything about a dance training.
That's absolutely, you know, it's just such a wonderful story. And the fact that they're doing what they love, you know, even, and, you know, supporting the performing arts, it, to me, is such a fundamental part of the mosaic of any country, you know. And sometimes it is, you know, it's really not that recognized, and one is always looking for assistance here and there. So I just think that, you know, the more we do and the more we put it out there, that, you know, we need to keep this alive, keep this whole industry alive. It is so important for people to you know, breathe all this wonderful creative energy in, because it's healing, you know.
Quite right. And, you know, the arts are the soul of any country. And we have such an exportable product. And also we have tourists that come here. It's an international city today. And they want to see first-class art, you know, and this is what we do. And it takes years and years of training. A dancer can't just be picked off the street and put them onto a stage. It is a long, hard road, and it's a ladder to climb, and one's got to be very careful how one trains students. And yes, and to see that end result, and a positive result at the end of the day, is wonderful.
And you know, your shows, and I've seen many of them, are absolutely world class, Philip. I must salute you on the wonderful training these guys receive, and the passion and the perfection and the choreography and the, you know, everything is just mind-blowing. It's actually very emotional watching your shows, I find.
Yes, thank you. And I just think it's giving children so many tools through this wonderful medium of dance to gain confidence, self-respect, dignity, discipline, a dedication, a commitment, and a space and a place to express themselves. And it's so incredibly life-changing, with all the opportunities for a better life and a positive future. And I know that we've changed the demographics of the dancers that we are now seeing on our stages here and abroad. And we've educated communities about supporting and understanding the world of the performing arts. And it's also therapy for so many wonderful children.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you know, getting back to the funding, a project of this enormity, you know, not, I know you get some, you support it in some ways by the government now and again. What does it cost per month and per year to keep Dance for All going, Philip?
It costs us about 350,000 rand per month. It's about 4 million rand per year to run the organization. So it's quite a lot of money. And we have to find sponsorship for that.
Do you get any funding from the government at all?
Yes, we do. We get funded by the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport. We do get some funding from the National Lottery. We apply for funding to foundations and trusts here and abroad. But it's a long, hard road. And one's not always assured of getting that funding every year. One has to keep at it all the time. But one can become a friend of Dance for All at, you know, say a dollar or $5 a month, or £5 a month. You know, if we could get 600 people or 1,000 people, that would, you know, help us greatly. And that would help the shortfall that we often have every year with not having the funding that we require. So that is something that, you know, people could certainly help with quite easily.
Oh, that's a wonderful initiative, and I'm sure that there'll be many that will be reaching out to help you there. And so now, I would like you to we've still got 7 minutes. I would like you to share with me what your dream is for Dance for All going forward, Philip.
Well, what I really would like to see is that we can become an accredited organization. That is a long process as well, and we are in the process of starting that. I would also like to extend our building where we have this wonderful sort of studio built for us, custom made in Athlone, and I'd like to go up another floor to build one massive big studio that we could use as a performing venue as well, because getting theatres is very difficult, it's very costly, and to have our own custom built in-house little theatre studio would be wonderful. And then of course to see more students that we've trained to be coming back and to be teaching on the, you know, on the programs that we have here and on our rural outreach programs, because that's always great to have role models who have been through the system to come back and teach.
That's wonderful. Now, we've still got a bit of time, so I want you to tell me, I know that everybody thinks when they see, you know, a lot of the videos and stuff that you've got out there that it's only ballet. Can you just tell me, share with me in about 5 minutes what other dance genres you teach, and you also, there's also acting involved, because, you know, it's theatre too.
Yes, yes. So we teach, obviously, classical ballet as the basis, and which you have to have as a dancer, and that gives you your, you know, everything that you need as a dancer. It's like learning the ABC of the keys of a piano. You've got to be able to walk before you can run. We also then teach African dance. We teach contemporary dance. We teach Spanish dance as well. And then we get in lecturers to come and talk about stage lighting, stage design. We get in makeup artists to show how you do different styles of makeup. We get in people that help with health issues, with weight issues, you know, all of those sort of things that are part and parcel of a dancer's training. And to become a dancer is to have a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that you've got to instill within oneself with that incredible discipline. And what we've really created is this place of excellence. No matter where you come from, you can excel in whatever you do if you work hard.
Absolutely. And obviously diet comes into it as well. They need to be, you know, to keep their levels of fitness up, and they've got to keep themselves well. Otherwise, you know, they can't dance.
That's right. No, quite right. So, you know, what one eats is very, very important, and to stay healthy all the time. And it's been interesting to see how body shapes have changed over the last 23 years of running the organization. You know, bodies have become much more leaner, and you're more toned. And that has happened, I think, because of learning about diet and eating salads and lettuce and tomato and all of those things that students never used to eat in the past. And so that's been really interesting to see how they've become much more educated, you know, and so much more all-rounded human beings.
That's wonderful. So, you know, it's an all-encompassing thing that you're offering out there, from every kind of facet that is involved in putting a show together and nurturing these children in every way so that they could have any one of many vocations after they leave. They can be producers, choreographers, they can be actors in musicals, and, you know, teachers, which is happening already, and mentors to others. I think the thing there is, you know, mentoring others to the possibilities of what one can do with one's life.
If you
choose... especially if you have a love for dance and the arts, then, you know, what a wonderful organization to be a part of.
Absolutely. And that is what's so great about being a dancer and being an artist. It's such a privilege to be an artist and to have this life that is so life-changing and inspiring, and creating magic around one and creating that magic for others. And our students become ambassadors, great ambassadors for their own people and for our country.
Great. And for the rest of the year, we've got 3 more minutes. Is there anything that's happening of note for the rest of the year?
We have some corporate events. We're doing a golf day in October. We're doing a night of stars in September. So there are all sorts of things happening. If one checks out our website, all the details about forthcoming events would be on our website.
Okay, wonderful. Now, I've still got some time, so is there anything else, I would say, a funny incident that was that you can recall over the years?
Yes, I remember a mother saying to me probably 23 years ago, I don't care what you do, but just make my child a star.
Oh. And there's one thing I forgot to ask you. Remember the Royal Albert Hall story? We've got to.
Yes.
So just share with me what you experience you had there with Phyllis.
Well, it was just it was an unreal experience, actually. When we both couldn't believe it was actually happening, we had to pinch ourselves to sort of, you know, say, God, we realize that our own students are here, you know, from Khayelitsha and younger, on this international London stage, being lauded by this, you know, an audience of 5,000 people. It was just, you know, absolutely incredible. And of course, from that, a lot more interest was developed through our work, and you know, more recognition, of course, for what we do. And that's what we need to do. We need to expose this organization so much more to the world, to everybody, because it is such a positive thing that we are doing. We're taking children off the street, we're stopping crime and violence, and we're honing their energy in this positive direction, which goes with them for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely wonderful. And, you know, I'm so glad that our paths have crossed, and, you know, the fact that we're actually doing this, because it's so important for people to realize what is going on in the townships in South Africa. You know, this is such a wonderful, wonderful organization to keep the children harnessing their energy in the right direction with all the support you give them in every area of their life. It's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, so on that, I'm going to say thank you so much for the wonderful time we've spent together. Philip, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. We've had many laughs, and I've learned an awful lot. And I wish you great success, lots of joy, and many successful students going forward. And I look forward to all your forthcoming shows. And thank you so much.
Thank you. And let's continue to inspire others.
Wonderful. Thank you.